You're listening to the Open Podcasts.
On the tee from the Republic of Ireland, Shane Lowry.
Definitely the most nervous I've ever been on the first tee of any tournament ever. Like, Portrush was just a huge occasion for Irish golf.
We didn't think it could happen. We thought it was just a pipe dream.
It's not only good, it's absolutely unbelievable. A fist pump from Shane Lowry.
I mean, he was just enjoying himself, wasn't he? He was going around that golf course, loving it.
That's what we live for, really. It was so, so good.
If you've ever wanted to know what it's like to be a pop star, Shane, I think you've got a fair idea now.
This doesn't feel like golf.
Saturday's one of the best rounds of golf I've ever seen in my life, bar none.
Everyone standing, everyone applauding as Shane Lowry and Tommy Fleetwood arrive on the green. But this, of course, is for the Irishman.
I'm actually getting goosebumps here thinking about it. When it got to about 4 o'clock in the morning, I remember sitting out on Dawson Street in Dublin with the claret jug and hardly anybody there, and it's just like, oh my God, what is just after happening to me?
That's Shane Lowry. He's the Irishman who was followed by thousands of fans through wind, rain and storms to win the Open at Royal Portrush. But that doesn't even begin to tell the story of 2019.
Still as you like, ball on the way and ball into the cup, and what a start from Shane Lowry.
I'm James Nesbitt, and with the help of those who were there to see it, I'll explain why I believe the 148th Open was the greatest in history. I would say that, though, Royal Portrush is my club. So, where do we start? How about with the fact that Northern Ireland was hosting an Open for the first time since 1951? So long ago, the man who won it spent the winter milking cows to strengthen his palms.
The Open Golf Championship, fought out at Royal Portrush, County Antrim, ended in a British win. Max Faulkner, 34-year-old unattached professional, was unperturbed by the weather or the strong competition he was up against. Here's his last putt.
Why the 68-year gap between Opens? In simple terms, because of the troubles in Northern Ireland. Local hero Darren Clark knows all about that political divide. The 2011 Open champion is from Dungannon, just 50 miles south of Portrush.
Bombs were going off quite frequently, and, you know, a lot of people unfortunately paid a heavy penalty for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. But that was our life back there at that stage. You think about at that stage when everything was going on, whether we were ever going to have a tournament such as this, you know, it was beyond the realms of possibility. It just was never going to happen.
Just two shots separated the top 16 players going into the third round. That was a sign of things to come. But not many people could have predicted what was to happen on Saturday. I wish Steve Elkington had told us this story back in 2002.
There's a harbour in North Barrick. It's a beautiful harbour. And the harbour master, the guy that ran that harbour, was in the pub that night. And we were talking about me making the cut. He said, "What time are you playing tomorrow?" And I said, "Like 8 o'clock in the morning." I was one of the first groups. And he said, "I tell you what I'd like to see you do tomorrow." He said, "I'd like to see you shoot a good round, because in the afternoon, there'll be some weather coming in that nobody will even, it's going to be the most horrific weather, I can tell it, in the current, in the harbour." And I said, "Well, there's nothing on the TV about weather." He goes, "Trust me, tomorrow afternoon, it's going to be the end of the world."
And the good news on this weekend is that the weather is holding up. A bit of cloud, a bit of light rain.
It was a beautiful morning. I mean, it was barely a cloud in the sky.
It's the finish that he wanted. Justin Rose out in 34, back in 34, a round of 68 today.
All of a sudden, probably around about noonish, one-ish, somewhere around there, I looked out and I saw this black mass coming in. And I thought, wow, that doesn't look pretty.
I remember going to the range and Tiger was coming off the range and he was going to the first tee. I was like an hour behind him. I'll never forget Tiger Woods. I've never thought I'll see any fear in his eyes, but I saw, you know, his eyes were wide open. he knew we were in trouble, and it was just awful, awful, awful. And that was some of the most atrocious stuff that I've ever played in. Yeah, it was crazy.
Tony Yell's on three. This is for birdie. He's taking his hat off. Too many hats just saturated now, so too many drops falling off the brim.
It really is quite off-putting, this rain, and very cold.
That'll be a four for Ernie.
We played about 13 to 14 holes in that monsoon, and it was not a pleasant experience.
It was a short game masterclass, classic Tiger Woods, and it installed him as leader in the clubhouse at one over par. What's more, it had electrified the Birkdale crowds. But things were about to get much, much louder.
I remember the beginning part of the round, and again, potentially not getting off to the greatest start, but I hung in there, I think is probably the best thing I could say on the Sunday, is I hung in there really, really well.
Final drive, Justin.
Like, well, should we watch him for a couple of holes? And we just got hooked and we literally followed him. I think, I remember right from the fifth onwards, I think we didn't leave his side from the fifth right way through the 18th.
We got the position on the 18th and we sat there, we were high enough in the stand. And when he hit his second shot into the rough, there was a groan. People thought, that's it.
Well, that was the best he could do. Justin Rose, third shot.
Really, to be honest with you, my recollections of that shot on 18 are now embedded in my brain through what I've seen back on TV. I think at the time, I was just trying to sort of get in and get out, you know, job done, don't make 9, down 18, it's been a brilliant week, just sort of, you know, finish it off and get out of here.
Him and his Kylie must have discussed that, if I remember right. Probably a good, it was the longest shot of the day for sure. He didn't just step up and play that shot. He went back to his bag, changed his club two or three times, spoke to the caddy, and, you know, we were close enough we could hear sort of the odd word they were saying. And I think he double-checked the yardage three or four times. Are you sure? Are you sure that's my yardage?
You know, people sort of think that I had about a, you know, I don't know, a 100-yard shot into 18 or an 80-yard shot, but it was only about 40 yards. It was about, you know, 25 yards short left of the green. Had to go over one of those pot bunkers and the pin was cut, you know, pretty close to it. So it was basically a high lob shot. The shot just came out absolutely perfectly.
Get in, they cry.
I've never heard a noise like that come up on the 18th. I don't think I ever will to this day, you know.
It just erupted. And of course, his reaction again was fantastic, wasn't it? He looking to the sky, raising his arms. He was as surprised as the rest of us that it had gone in.
That's the one shot that I've had to try to live up to and get past. And, you know, for a long time, that shot became a little bit of a burden to me, if I'm honest, because, you know, I did have a tough start to my professional career. And as great as it was, and I'm so grateful now, knowing I've had what I feel is a successful career that I'm proud of, and I've been able to move forward and move past that moment and be able to look back at it with fond memories and go, God, that was the start of something great.
You're listening to The Open Podcasts.
Here he is at 18, most important tee shot of his life. It's a beautiful balanced swing. Hopefully it's all right for him. Let's see where this lands and pitches. And that is too far left, and I think that is bunkered. It is. It's bunkered. It's bunkered, and it's close to the face. He can't reach the green in two. Ernie Els, what are you feeling right now? What was that from Adam Scott?
I mean, my good friend Johan Rupert was on the phone. He was giving me live commentary on some of the holes, especially 18, you know. I remember him telling me, you know, he drove it in the bunker, and I thought, oof.
Now back to Adam Scott, who must simply get this out. And he does, Gordon.
Yeah, as we said, that's all he could do. He's just about come out sideways, and that's going to leave him approximately 140 into the target.
There weren't really many options. My option was to hit it out where I did, but I actually had to get really focused to hit that shot, because I had to hit it over the next bunker as well to get it then on the fairway, so I didn't afford to misstrike that shot, even though it's a fairly straightforward shot, but certainly didn't want to compound that error.
deathly hush on both sides of these colossal stands at the 18th, waiting to see if there's yet more drama. Let's watch this one in flight. He's twiddled the club, he's watching it. And this one is spectacular. Brilliant shot from Adam Scott. You know this isn't over. If he makes a four here, he's a real man. That's what he is. He's a real man because he has collapsed over the previous half an hour or so. That is a genius shot, and I would say no more than 8 feet for the tie.
I think one of the strengths of my game is not dragging my chin along the ground. Woe is me, I'm losing the Open. I really focused up and hit a great shot into the green, and I was incredibly confident that I would make that putt.
Pace and line. Sounds a bit obvious.
Yeah, well, everything's got to be right this time.
Everything's got to be
stroke,
spot on.
Breathing. This is it. This to tie.
And as you know, at the Open, there are a lot of flat putts with tiny, tiny subtleties along the way, and that was one of them. It was like kind of a putt you'd love to have. Up until the moment it rolled past the edge, I was fully confident that I would roll that putt in.
As he sets the putter head in behind the ball, the greatest 9 feet of his life, Adam Scott, to tie Ernie Els. And it has just rolled past the left edge. Heartbreak for Adam Scott. We have a new Open champion in the form of Ernie Els, and this has been a traumatic final hour at this year's Open Championship. Extraordinary.
I felt kind of numb. I didn't really know what to feel. You know, disbelief a little bit. You know, the night before, I was sitting there trying to... maybe incorrectly trying to not think about holding the claret jug every 5 minutes. Maybe I should have just let myself go there.
I remember first things I said, I'm sorry. I said to him, you know, I've been here, I've done this, I'm sorry. You know, and he didn't say anything. And I just wanted to hug him the whole time. And I saw him on the green there, I just wanted to put my arm, I just wanted to hug him because I know what he was going through.
It would be too little too late for John Rahm, but a memorable final round meant he left Royal St George's tied for third place and ranked as the number one player in the world. The championship, though, that was about to be decided.
Once he's over it, he's usually very quick shuffle of his feet, looks at the hole, forward press, ball's on its way, moving down the green and in. Jordan Spieth with another birdie on the back nine. Moves to 12 under par. And in sole position of second place, only two shots back.
I've gone on runs at the Open Championship before. You know, when I won it in 17, it was just a crazy run at the end. And so I'm always kind of feel like it can still be there. I just need one little spark, and started to get it there on the 13th, 14th.
Drama and excitement out here at the par 5 14th, where Jordan Spieth has 8 feet to get to 13 under par. It is getting tight out here. Putt is on its way.
Creeping in, yes! Jordan Spieth, the 13 under. We've got a fight going on here.
I don't think pressure is the word when you hear fans, you know, cheer for other people. I think it's just part of what we do.
As Morikawa and Oosthuizen mount the tee at the par 5 14.
Three wood really just looking down the left.
So 14, hit, I believe, my tee shot a little left, laid up, pushed it as close as I could to the green, and I think my chip shot was a foot or two from staying up and being about 6 or 7 feet rather than maybe 25.
He doesn't want to over-hit this because it runs away after the hole. Up it goes, gets to the crest, and in! And in! Birdie for Colin Morikawa. Wow, what a putt that was.
Oh, I tell you what, he is delighted with that, as he should be, of course, but... you could see, I mean, he was really pumped with that one.
To see it go in, those are the times you know that, you know, it's just one of those days. You know, how are you going to be able to close it out? You're going to make putts like that. You're going to have shots like that. You just know.
And on a day like that, where guys are going to play really good golf, as Colin and Louis did, you just got to be starting tied for the lead or in the lead so you can control your own destiny. But very proud of the way the last 12 holes went. Loved the fight, and It was another really solid week where I look to build on as we go forward here.
Jordan Spieth, this is about the length you missed last night, so we'll be taking a little bit extra care.
No mistakes this time.
Jordan Spieth went on to tidy up a round of 66, enough for second place outright. Behind him, Louis Oosthuizen, the man who had led from Thursday, would have to settle for tied third with Rahm.
One of the great moments in sport now, the finish of the Open Championship as they come down the 18th.
Here you had this young man who had asserted himself in this tournament in such a dramatic way and never really let up. Never at any point did anybody feel, okay, here is where the weight of circumstance is starting to bear down on him. To be framed by the setting sun, to hear the seagulls off in the distance, to have the tens of thousands on site, he handled it like the champion that he is.
You know, you're trying to take in as much as you can, and thankfully I was able to hit the green knowing that, you know, if I just two-putted, three-putted even, I think I was going to have the win.
But now, here comes Morikawa. Into the hole, and Colin Morikawa is the new Open champion, the 149th champion. Big hug for his caddy. Warm handshake from Louis Oosthuizen. What a performance by Colin Morikawa. He's finished at 15 under par. Now stands arms aloft in the sunshine, applauds the fans who have been so generous to him. Not a single blemish on his card. Four birdies. What a performance. Colin Morikawa is the new Open champion.
To look around and to hear the fans and them all rooting you on, and I think just taking a deep breath and realizing, you know, look, we just closed off our first Open Championship win, my second major, and it never gets old. It really doesn't.
You're listening to the Open Podcasts.
For me, though, it was a bit of a dilemma, I guess, in the sense that I didn't really want to take in the moment fully at that point, because we've seen on a few occasions what can happen when you let your concentration slip in big events, and the Open not being anything different there. We've seen a couple of heartbreak moments over the years, and I was just determined not to let up on that end. And I stayed focused as much as I could there all the way until I'm actually ready to hit my final putt.
Even Phil the Magician can't do anything about that. And Sweden at last has a male major champion, Henrik Stenson, on his first visit to Royal Troon.
Crowds in the grandstands on both sides are just standing. Henrik Stenson takes off his cap and just savours the moment. Isn't this fantastic?
Then I kind of said to myself, you've mission accomplished. I've done this. I've won the Open Championship, because up until that point, I didn't want to let anything get in the way of my dream, really.
In the clubhouse, it was about 80, 90 persons sitting with a beer and a cheeseburger and so on. When that ball stopped, I went to the kitchen and said, champagne through the whole clubhouse. We were 85 person drinking champagne before he set that unbelievable last putt on 18. And we cried together. It was fantastic.
Well, this is to break the all-time record. 19 under's the record. This for 20.
And he has! Not only is Henrik Stenson the Open champion, it's the lowest score anyone ever made in the Open. 20 under par. What a performance. A round of 63 with four birdies in the last five holes. He took everything Phil Mickelson could throw at him, and on the day he was just too good.
I guess I just let it all sink in for a brief moment, and then I gave it a double fist pump and went over to give Garrett a hug and go and thank Phil for a great day and a great fight. And yeah, I suppose you're right. It probably felt longer when you're just taking that extra second or two, because I mean, at that point, it's not like when a player makes the putt to win. I mean, I had a few to spare at that moment, and I just let the moment sink in, and then kind of reacting afterwards. So it was certainly nothing planned. It was just emotions coming out.
Off comes the cap, a pump with his left fist. My goodness me, what a way to win it.
I jumped and I screamed when he put in that final putt, and you realize that, oh my freaking God, he's actually won. Then I screamed so much that the baby flipped inside of me. I just felt her moving a lot, and I'm like, oh dear, now I'm gonna go into labor, because I just jumped from the sofa so high and screamed and just couldn't stop. I think the whole neighborhood hear me. Half part of Sweden, but it's a great moment. That was amazing.
It was a disappointment not to have won my sixth. So St. Andrews, I had my opportunities a couple times at St. Andrews, and it just didn't pan out.
John Watson's pain at not winning his sixth claret jug is plain to hear, but for most of us, the 113th Open Championship was magnificent. From fans, reporters, caddies, and players, 1984 will always be remembered for the right reasons.
It was good being a part of that whole finale. I think that's another thing that was instilled in me, was how Seve had just hung in there all day and ended up winning. Tom, who looked like being the guy that was going to win all day, lost it on 17.
That's what we practice for. We can see ourselves hopefully being in the last couple of groups on any major championship, coming down with a chance to win. The spectators are just phenomenal. They cheer you on from the tee all the way down to the fairway, to the green, and on it goes. They're just happy to be out there and grateful to see some of the best golfers in the world in action on a beautiful sunny day at St. Andrews. It just doesn't get any better than that.
We probably all, the next day we went out to play golf, we probably all had that 13-foot putt, gave the old fist pump. We all had to go and buy Slazenger blue jumpers. You know, it was Seve was tremendous. He was a super, super winner.
Seeing Seve winning the Open Championship at St. Andrews and knowing what it meant to him was unquestionably, for me, the greatest moment. I will never, ever forget that winning putt, the ball toppling in, and his fantastic reaction.
He, like Tiger, was able to lift the entire game. Everybody wanted to watch Seve, you know, then everybody wanted to watch Tiger. You'd have to rate him on the greatest of all time. And I mean, not just his record, but the excitement he brought to the game, you know, the shots he played and the unbelievable risks he took that would come off, and the delight he showed and that was shared, you know, with the people watching him. It was a wonderful time in golf. Spanish players will always look back to the days of Seve.
It was the greatest day of his life, and it was the greatest day of mine. When he finished and gave that fist pump, he looked so happy, and that's the way I want to remember him.
There were so many special memories from the Open Championships. Perhaps none are as vivid as the one of Seve punching the air as the winning birdie putt dropped into the hole. The fist pump photograph seen around the world would go on to become iconic, representing Seve's legacy and adorning the sleeve of all the European Ryder Cup team and the famous Miracle at Medina. The Spaniards' victory at St. Andrews was a beautiful moment. For Seve, it was his finest moment, and it gave us all an image that will represent him forever.
From that moment is where I put my logo here. So that was my greatest moment, so just to make sure that it's there. And I put it in my arm.
The story of 1984 was narrated by me, Sam Torrance, and is dedicated to the late Severiano Ballesteros. They do not come any greater than Seve.
Touch of class, baby.
Touch of class.
Touch of class.
That image of Shane stood on a pub table in the Republic of Ireland's capital city,
belting out the Fields of Athenry. Just incredible. I know how proud I felt.
I think word probably got around Dublin where we were going, because that's kind of a bar that I would go to if I was going out with my friends, and it was pretty busy. But as the night went on and as it got later and later, it kind of fizzled out. Like when it got to about 4 o'clock in the morning, that's when it was like really cool sitting back. I remember sitting out on Dawson Street in Dublin with the Claret Jug and hardly anybody there, and it's just like, oh my God, what is just after happening to me?
Well, the celebrations obviously were somewhat behind closed doors in some respects. We do celebrations pretty well in Ireland. We're well known how to celebrate. And Shane would be the type of person who gets the celebration thing really well. And there was brilliant vibe throughout the whole country for about 2 or 3 days. And I know that Shane had his own celebrations.
Shane travelled back to his hometown of Clara, claret jug in hand, ready for a hero's welcome.
So we walk up the street, like, it's literally just people on top of us, and we've got, like, we're surrounded by security, and they're trying to get us through, and you know, it takes a while to get up to where the stage is, and then we get up on the stage, and it's just, I mean, it's like, it looks to me like people for as far as you can see.
Will you welcome the man who brought Ireland to a standstill? My heart stopped. He was as cool as a cucumber to produce one of the great, great sporting achievements in Irish history. Here he is with the Claret Jug, Shane Lowry!
Everybody's in great form, and you know the sun was shining. You know, everything about it was just, there was a good buzz around the place, and you know, you get 10 or 15,000 people coming together, and there's not a bad word spoken between anyone. It's just incredible.
Shane is very much a man of the people in Ireland, you know, and certainly I think he was, yeah, Rory is a big favourite with everybody, and being local would have been a massive favourite, but I really don't think we're looking at second best here with Shane. I think we're going to give it as an equal. He's very, very popular in Ireland, Shane, and it was a big deal for the golfing community and the sporting community and the people of Ireland that he went on and won it. So I'm not going to say second best. Let's give it a perfect in Shane's mind and equal in everybody else's.
Listen, I hope it's going to be great. I think he's going to keep stepping up and keep moving forward and keep doing what he's always dreamed of doing in the game. What everyone dreams of winning the major. You know, he's done it now, so he's going to be living the dream, and hopefully he'll create a few more.
Shane's achievement lifted the Open beyond a level that any championship has ever seen. The redesigned course, the partisan fans, the Fields of Athenry, the Guinness. It was the Open that unified Ireland. This was our Open, and Shane Lowry made it the perfect Open.
I'm a bit like misunderstood as well. You know, I think people have a perception of me that, you know, oh, he drinks a few pints and goes and plays a bit of golf and happens to be good, and isn't that great? But the years of hard work with my team, you know, the ups and downs we've all had together, the arguments, the fallouts, the makeups, just everything, for it all to kind of come together that week in Portrush, I feel unbelievably fortunate.
Shane Lowry is your Open champion 2019.
I can't say anything more than I feel extremely lucky to have achieved what I achieved in Portrush that week, because will another Irishman ever do that again? Who knows? But I can take solace in the fact that no matter what happens for the rest of my career, that Claret Jug will always be on my table, so that's pretty cool.
And the new Open champion in Ireland is an Irishman, Shane Lowry.
I'm actually getting goosebumps here thinking about it. Genuinely, like, just one of the best weeks of my life.